Go into the intro.
In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
That sound was so, that, like, do you remember when, like, there was a while ago online, we were having a discussion about how great the Drive intro is, you know, even after 30 years, and that sound in the cinema kind of has that same sort of vibe for me.
It's almost like George Lucas and THX were inspired by the BFM Drive intro.
Yeah, that's very,
Giz Royalties, should we go door knocking at Skywalker Ranch?
We should totally do that. They do have an Australian branch as well.
Well, that's less interesting.
With a job available at the moment. I've just noticed. Hey, is there a bed? Do we do a bed or do we
just... Yeah, we can do a bed, but that's just, I think it's just a bed of your choice.
Oh really? Okay. I thought I saw one in there. Let's just raw dog it. no bed.
It seems everyone's saying raw dog these days. Okay. Like a verb that doesn't have etymology behind it.
So how are you? We're going to talk about films. We're going to talk about three films.
I might be cheeky and actually stretch it to four. Who can say?
Okay, all right. I've only got audio prepared for three.
But yeah, I'm messing with you.
You can manage that.
Well, we're going to start with, do you want to go audio first, talk later, or talk first, audio later?
Let's go audio first.
Audio first.
Let's set the scene. So are we starting with Sly?
Let's start with Sly.
Sly and the Family Stone. It can't be overstated how massively popular they were.
Sly created this unique space.
At that time, the mixed group was a new thing.
Guys and girls and black and white. So you get all that input.
They sounded like nothing else sounds.
Everybody wanted him.
To bring people together, this country was tearing itself apart.
I was scared. And at the time, it was almost too much all at once.
You were at the place that every musician wants to be. You get there, and you blow it.
So let's go right in with an RIP to Sly Stone, who passed away this week. Legend of, I was going to say a particular music genre, but actually, as we learn from this fantastic documentary, Sly Lives, which has taken on different resonance in the last couple of days, he really fused together all these different genres for the first time. Really commonplace now to think about, like, funk and rock and black music and white music and the British Invasion and Motown all sort of jostling for position in a song, right? Pretty normal. But this documentary kind of helps to sketch out how he's really one of the forefathers of jamming that stuff together. Really, really good film. Made by Questlove of The Roots. And he made his first foray into documentary feature making a few years ago with Summer of Soul, which was a masterpiece, but was the film that was awarded the Oscar immediately after the Will Smith fuck up moment.
Cool.
So slightly overshadowed. Upstate, so as the world was going, what did we just watch? Did we just watch a bit? Or what are the consequences of this going to be? And a room full of people were just trying to figure out what was going on. Up goes Questlove to win an award and try and make some sense out of what's just happened.
As far as docos, I mean, I love a doco, but God, a well-made music doco, God, it's such a treat. And I know in your particular flat, you've got a projector or something. You've got like a big, you know, you've got like a 5.1 setup.
We've got like a left channel and a right channel.
Yeah.
Okay. And 2.0 and a projector. I think we've got the kind of setup that I think we've got a not dissimilar kind of ethos to Sir Dave Dobbin, who goes for, quote, maximum immersion.
Right. I see. So, great movie. Any like, were you left wanting anything that you...
Yeah, kind of, actually. Questlove chooses to not really interrogate the tabloid aspects of Sly Stone's life too much. So his career kind of goes from strength to strength. He develops prodigious and insane drug habits. And with that comes sort of two different public falls from grace. One of those is explored. One of those is his sort of quest for relevance while kind of on the decline of, you know, of the crest of his fame. And as the world changed around him and the fusion of music I was talking about before became much more commonplace, it was sort of unique elements maybe fell to the wayside a little. But then he just ran through the court system. He was imprisoned. He was homeless for a while. That is all kind of at the very back end of the film. And I think there's a real choice here because maybe if you're a black American, you've found that stuff has been rubbed in your face excessively rather than celebrating the actual musical legacy of Stone. So for me, you know, being somewhat acquainted with the story, I could have done another 20 minutes in this film and just found out a bit more. But I actually felt like it left me in a much more positive space. And now that this film is a eulogy as opposed to a celebration or of someone living, perhaps that's actually a nicer way to go about it. Other things that weren't in the film, I mean, for music, this is like, as you'll be aware, rare for a music documentary. No Dave Grohl, not a bad thing. and the two musicians who I think are probably the closest modern equivalents to Sly Stone, deeply indebted to him, and possibly grappling with some of the same difficult relationships with fame as black geniuses, D'Angelo and Andre 3000 from Outkast. I think those guys couldn't exist without Sly Stone. And I think, particularly in the case of D'Angelo, who's retreated from the public eye, come back into the public eye, cancels shows kind of on the eve of them happening, I think his relationship with the world is maybe a little bit not dissimilar to Sly Stone's in a way. So it's great to hear heaps from these guys in the doco.
What did you do immediately after the doco ended?
I rewound to watch a bit that I hadn't been paying attention to enough because it was quite late.
Right. And after that?
After that, I went to bed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
there's no cool story here. Jesus, come on, man.
I thought maybe you'd put an album on.
Yeah, look, I'm not usually a fan of a pre-interview before an interview, but I think we could have avoided that if we'd had a chat before.
Sorry, yeah, totally. Okay. Well, where do you see this?
Yeah, Sly Lives. This is streaming on Disney Plus. The film only came out a couple months ago. I feel it kind of went under the radar at the time. It came straight to streaming here. But yeah, you can fish it out on your favorite Walt Disney affiliated streaming service.
I've actually got it. I've actually got that service.
Watch it, man. This is real. It's real good. And look, we're the United States is at a time where people are seeking to exploit divisions between people. Sly's band, which had black members, white members, men and women, kind of the first popular band to do that, maybe one of the first bands ever to do that in the United States in the 20th century. All the sort of things he stood for and tried to introduce into society are probably more relevant than ever.
Actually, and when I was watching that trailer and picking a bit to play, like there were the parallels to what's going on right now were like super stark.
Yeah, man. And I think one other thing that I found quite interesting, I'm going to revisit the discography of Stone now after seeing the film and just sort of understanding the pivots a bit more. So he would not only have sort of feet in all these different musical genres, but the way that the industry or the public would respond to a particular album or song would often inform his next step. So, you know, he made too complicated a record, so he was told to make something simple. And the simple song he made, simple song air quotes, was Dance to the Music, which is, on the one hand, the simplest possible song. Every single beat, every single moment of that song is pop perfection and stripped right down, but there is so much going on in it, so it kind of, I think, sums up one element of his personality. Then later on, he is a bit disconnected possibly from the black political community and the Black Panthers, so he writes Stand, which becomes an anthem of a very different kind.
Okay, so are we going Killer next?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go Killer.
Okay.
My son, tell me why we fight.
Because our enemy still lives.
You all have traveled far and missed the warmth of home. But tonight, think of only one thing. Killing the monster.
Sounding a bit intense.
Yeah, very intense. It was actually quite hard. Of all the three trailers, that was the hardest one to pick a bite-sized bit to play, to cut down. I don't know what that means.
I think it means there's a lot of subtitling in this film, and there's a lot of dramatic music and action sequences. This is a surprise new film in the Predator franchise. When did you watch? Do you have memories of watching Arnie Schwarzenegger Predator?
I have half-baked memories of it.
That's fair.
Yeah, like
I've got a few halfback memories.
You sent me a photo. I never. That's not one that I've revisited as an adult. That was only back in the day.
Standout action film of the 1980s. Superb, superb film. Almost directed by Jeff Murphy. Jeff Murphy got fired from Predator.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Jeff Murphy got fired from Predator, and in his memoir, he's like, basically says like, I'm not saying these two things are connected, but I'm not saying they're unconnected. And he was involved in adapting Predator for the big screen, was on board to direct, everything was going well, and then they got Arnold Schwarzenegger. And when he met Arnold Schwarzenegger, like a true New Zealander, it's like, ah, Conan the Librarian.
Okay.
And that's how Jeff Murphy got fired from Predator.
Right. For younger listeners, Jeff Murphy, New Zealand film director, you know, we're taking it to Invercargill.
Hey, for younger listeners, let's list films you've never heard of.
Yeah.
pioneering New Zealand filmmaker who was, yeah, I guess, one of the first to follow up his achievements here with big films in the US.
Yeah, cool.
Like Under Siege 2.
Okay.
Anyway, this new Predator is a animated film. It's kind of a bonus film from the feature that's coming this year called Predator Badlands. Same director, some short vignettes set in different epochs of human history. And you know what? It's okay. For Predator fans, it's a nice thing to kind of treat as a bit of a snack before getting a live-action feature later in the year.
Right. I got to say, trailer didn't take me much, but then I kind of thought, you know, you can't always win with a trailer. Some films are hard to make a trailer for.
This is true, and this franchise has some absolute dog shit entries and some absolute brilliance. So results may vary, and this is kind of just very moderate.
Okay. So shall we finish with a lighter touch?
Let's finish with a lighter touch.
How many marriages are you responsible for now, Lucy? Okay.
Nine.
If the girl asks for a tall drink of water, with a salary over 500 grand. Always Mr. Right. You deliver.
You're the matchmaker. You want a drink?
Sure. Coke and beer.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, John.
Definitely didn't expect to run into you tonight.
I missed you.
Yeah. You don't even remember my face.
Pedro Pascal.
Oh, you can just hear the love triangle, can't you?
Totally. Yeah, this, you know, this, like, bit of a spin on a rom-com?
Kinda, but, so this is Materialists. This is the new film from Celine Song. She made a fantastic debut, quite a semi-autobiographical feature, Past Lives, a couple years ago, which was really endearing. And this is her cashing in her chips, I guess, of going, okay, doors are open. I get to spend Hollywood money, so I'm going to cast Dakota Johnson, Pedro Pascal, and Chris Evans together in a love triangle. And it's not as much com as possibly it could have. So it's got some rom, it's got some dram, and it's got a bit of com. But these things kind of sit uneasily together. I did not like this movie.
Okay.
This is in cinemas this week. There's lots of elements to it that are interesting. Like they're sort of being very direct about marriage being a business transaction and the sorts of business-like negotiations that might exist in dating with a specific outcome in mind. It's kind of an interesting setup.
So is this a window into that world, like what actually does exist in terms of this kind of thing?
Jesus Christ, I hope not.
Right.
Because it seems brutal. But I'm sure that in New York City there are outfits that are connecting people with other people and charging them good money to make money off their loneliness and sadness.
Nick Mowbray, have you met, etc.?
I haven't met Nick Mowbray. I'd say a couple things.
Yeah,
I might call him Conan the Librarian.
Yeah.
Materialist, yes. So it's kind of a bit unsatisfactory for whatever you sort of think this film's going to be. Like it, from the poster, it could kind of be like an indie drama, but then it's got the star domination. But it doesn't really seem to make use of their charisma that well. Like the charisma kind of doesn't really sizzle through the screen like you might think it would. I chuckled a few times, but chuckles, you know, not crack ups. So I would say while this is in cinemas this week, I did not dislike the experience of watching it, But I immediately was like, after we talk about it on the radio today, I'm never going to think about this movie
right
ever again.
Okay. So maybe one for the streaming later on.
Maybe. If you feel like, if there's someone in your life that's going to twist your arm into watching it, you could be like, oh, yeah. You choose this one. Cool.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. So that's in cinemas. What is it? It would be tomorrow, right?
From tomorrow.
Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Killer. What's it called?
Predator, Killer of Killers. Yep. That's also on Disney Plus. There is no commercial relationship between Steve Newell and Disney Plus.
And also Sly and the Family Stone documentary, Sly Lives. That is also on Disney Plus.
Absolutely. Sly Lives, aka The Burden of Black Genius, to give it its complete title.
Lovely.
Hey, nice to chat you.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.